It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. This week, Michigan State University denied a request from a white supremacist group to rent space on campus. The National Policy Institute, which is headed by Richard Spencer, wanted to bring a speaker to campus next month. In a statement, the university said it denied the request due to safety concerns following the violence that broke out last weekend in Charlottesville. Jack, I think most would understand the university's safety concerns, but when it comes to free speech, what kind of a legal foothold does MSU have here?
Probably not a very strong one, according to at least one constitutional law professor. People have the right to speech. If they incite violence, then you can arrest them for sure. But I think this is a very touchy situation. If you allow speech from the left, you have to allow speech from the right. And I'm afraid they will likely, if this is taken to the court by Richard Spencer and his ilk, will have to make some kind of accommodation. And of course, there'll be counter-protesters too, and the university will be sort of hard put to keep any violence from happening. Given the First Amendment, and you know, thank God for the First Amendment, I'm afraid they may be forced, when all said and done, to let this group speak.
This week, a state board approved a handful of proposals that could show up on the 2018 ballot, including marijuana legalization and earned sick time. The board also approved a proposal that would revamp the way the state draws its district lines. A grassroots group called Voters, Not Politicians, say this initiative is aimed at ending gerrymandering. Now the group has to collect hundreds of thousands of signatures to get this thing on the ballot. Jack, assuming that happens, do you think this proposal has legs?
Well, first of all, this is actually a constitutional amendment, which is much more different than sort of a normal initiative law. And it's got a lot of problems. One problem, of course, is that they don't have paid people to collect signatures. They have a lot of gung-ho volunteers, they say, but they're going, practically speaking, they're going to have to collect more than 400,000 signatures. That's a lot of work. There's also a problem with the language involved, the very arcane procedural thing, the affidavit attached to the petition. And you can bet that the Republicans, certainly, and a lot of vested interests, have every interest in stopping this from happening. But there are an awful lot of people in the state, including Republicans, who think the present gerrymandered system is just so awful and so unworkable that something has to be done.
Michigan has its first official candidate for the next state attorney general. Attorney and Democrat Dana Nessel is one of the lawyers that took Michigan's same-sex marriage case to the U.S. Supreme Court and won. The Detroit Free Press reports that other potential candidates could include State Representative Tim Grimal and Macomb County Prosecutor Eric Smith on the Democrat side, and State Senator Tanya Shoemaker and Speaker of the House Tom Leonard on the Republican side, among others. How do you see this race shaping up, Jack?
Well, I think the most likely Democratic candidate is one you didn't mention, former U.S. District Attorney Pat Miles from the western part of the state. He is African-American, and the politics of the Democratic Party dictate that at least one of the big four, governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and attorney general, at least one of those candidates has to be an African-American. The other interesting thing about this is that neither you or I or anybody else who is a normal person gets to vote. There's not a primary. These officials will be chosen by the Democratic and Republican conventions that'll be around Labor Day next year.
Three people were arrested this week after trying to use a drone to smuggle drugs and a cell phone into a Michigan prison. The State Department of Corrections says two guards at the facility in Ionia heard the drone early Thursday morning, just before it dropped two packages near a housing unit. At this point, it's not illegal in Michigan to fly a drone above a state prison, county jail, or courthouse. Some lawmakers have been trying to change that. Jack, do you think this incident will speed things along?
I don't know why a drone doesn't come and bring me my mortgage money. I would like that. And, this is a really sort of a science fiction kind of scenario. In fact, this drone did drop, a cell phone, and then it dropped some drugs. And the people who launched the drone, however, were right outside the prison and got arrested. But this is a brave new world. There are a couple bills in to sort of severely limit drones and prohibit them. There's one by a representative from Roseville, John Churkin, who wants to prohibit them within 1,000 feet of prisons, which makes sense to me. But there's another representative, another Republican, Michelle Huitinga. She has a drone. She loves drones. And she sounds like sort of a pro-NRA gun advocate. She doesn't want anything that will limit drones. So I can't for the life of me see why anyone would object to prohibiting drones right outside a state prison.
Well, Jack, maybe if you're lucky, a drone will bring you breakfast tomorrow. You never know.
Yeah, the only drone I've been compared to is the male honeybees that don't do any work.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio Senior News Analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.